Hey, you want that to go?
That's right. We've got your news to go. Some quick takeouts now on stories we're following this week. We go to Todd Zwillick first. He's the Takeaways Washington correspondent. So, Todd, everyone's talking about what could possibly be in this health care bill that the House Democrats are going to unveil with great pomp and circumstance. What details do we have?
Yeah, a lot of pomp and circumstance for not a lot of detail yet. And members, a lot of members don't know what's in it either. What we do know is that the robust public option that Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership have said all along that they want, it's not in there. This is a sort of what a Democrat would probably think is a weaker public option based on negotiated rates. That means the government would negotiate with doctors and hospitals, just like insurance companies do now. You don't save as much money, and it probably doesn't cover as many people. So the liberals in the Congress, many of whom said they would never support a public option that wasn't the strongest one, will be probably pretty upset about this. And also, you have to look at the Senate very quickly, because Harry Reid's bid for a public option over there is not garnering 60 votes yet. So people over there are talking about triggers and various things to make it more palatable. And the Progressive Caucus, which has 80 votes, is saying that'll never fly. So listen to Lynn Woolsey of California. She's the leader of the progressives. Here's what she has to say about weakening the public option.
You'll hear from us that there will be no votes from progressives, the Black Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus, and the Asian Caucus, that there will not be enough votes to pass any trigger.
You know, what's odd here, Todd, is that they're all preparing themselves to either be pleased or offended. Like, they don't know what's in the bill, but they're just, like, reacting to what they don't know about.
Well, so many people have taken such strong positions on this. You know, people will be a little more flexible in the end than they say they'll be now, because people have to take strong positions. But when it comes to casting your vote, yay or nay, be a little more flexible.
Right. And the Democratic leaders, as we said, lots of pomp and circumstance, lots of ceremony, and they're planning a big celebration.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because we don't know exactly how much this bill is going to cost. They won't say. We don't know yet how many people it will cover, and we don't know exactly who pays in terms of taxpayers and rates and insurance companies and drug companies and everything else. And members are being asked, were asked last night to appear next to the speaker and the Democratic leadership for this big kind of press conference-y TV event, even though some of them don't know if they're backing the bill. Marion Barry is a congressman, a former pharmacist from Arkansas. He hasn't decided if he's backing the bill, but he was asked last night to appear at this press conference, and it's a little ironic, and here's what he had to say about that.
I think that's standard operating procedure. I'm not very smart, but I wasn't born last night. And, You do, especially when you get to this point, you do what you got to do.
Okay, well, what they got to do is unveil this health care bill so we know what's in it. Todd Zwillick is the Takeaways Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd. Let's go down to business with Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners, the New York Times. And Louise, you have a story today about credit cards. There was a Pew Health Group's Safe Credit Cards project. They issued a report yesterday. And what they found here, this is surprising. We have the Credit Card Act that they passed, which is going to go into effect in late February. And that's going to really tighten up the restrictions on what credit card companies can do. How many banks at this point are in full compliance with the Credit Card Act?
Well, the report, Celeste, was entitled Still Waiting. And I think it's worse than still waiting, because we're not just waiting for change. What the report found is that it's been getting worse. It's flabbergasting. A number of these banks in between December and July raised their rates. They started doing these things where if you index rates on credit cards to an index of rates, you could raise them. If you miss a single payment, they'll just start spiraling your rate upwards. And what it looks like to me is that a number of banks are trying to rip consumers off as much as they can right now, this fall, before they're not allowed to next February. And this has made people in Congress so upset that you've seen the House Financial Services Committee propose a bill to make this bill from last spring go into effect in December to speed it up. And you just saw Chris Dodd in the Senate this week come out and say, we've got to freeze credit card interest rates right now. So they recognize that the banks aren't rushing to get better. They're rushing to rip people off while they still can.
Are the banks justifying their actions?
You know, what's so interesting to me is that we've been covering how banks have been publicly talking about how they're stopping overdraft fees on the
checking accounts.
And so it seems like on the one hand, and part of the banks, they're trying to look really good and do nice things for consumers. But in this other corner of the company, in the credit card area, they're trying to pull in the money as much as they can before the bill goes into effect. You know, Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, has said with this new law and with what's going on with credit card losses, he doesn't see their credit card division being profitable until 2011. So you've got a lot of banks that are really nervous that when this law starts, they're not going to be able to make profits and they're not going to be able to charge these sky-high interest rates, so they're doing it now.
So there's our takeaway from Louise's story of the New York Times. The banks are ripping people off while they can. That's horrifying. Let's go to sports now with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, the Takeaway Sports contributor. You predicted that a lot of runs would be scored. They were. But it didn't turn out to be the runs that you thought they would be, right? And A-Rod struck out three times. Philadelphia beat the New York in Game 1 of the 2009 World Series. 6-1 was the final score. What happened?
So the whole story is really all about Chase Utley, but really it's about Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee scored. He didn't score anything, actually. He just made it look extremely easy. He had one. There was one pop-up fly where he just like nonchalantly just put his hand out. It was like he was playing catch with his kids. There was another one where like there was a line drive and he did a spin around and he caught the ball kind of behind his back.
He was enjoying himself.
He does not get nervous, and his nervousness makes him more calm, more relaxed. Like he's just out there playing a nonchalant game, relaxed. The shutout. It was almost a shutout going into the ninth inning when Jeter got on base and then Johnny Damon got on base. And because of a Jimmy Rollins error, the Yankees scored a run. There was nothing that Cliff Lee did to get them. He had no earned runs. His ERA is now .55 going into this next game. So this is the thing. Cliff Lee was outstanding. He pitched literally one of the best baseball games ever in a World Series that you'll ever see. People are comparing him to Don Larson, who pitched a perfect game before. People are comparing him to Bob Gibson, who pitched an unbelievable game in the 60s. There was no performance like this that you could ever imagine. He completely baffled the Yankee hitters. There was some other stuff that I want to say. In terms of some historical perspective, the 1996 Yankees, they won the World Series in 1996 after a long drought. They lost Game 1 and Game 2 in Yankee Stadium to the Braves.
That's what you're pinning your hopes on.
My hopes? No. I'm pinning the hopes of 24 million in the greater New York area. All the Mets fans that have decided that they're going to root for the Yankees in lieu of their hatred of the Philadelphia Phillies.
We'll see if the Phillies can repeat their success. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is the Takeaway Sports contributor. Thanks, Ibrahim.
Hey, thanks. Good morning.